Good morning. Today is Monday, December the 14th, 349th day of the new year. Joining us this morning from the County Office of Ed, Superintendent Gary Eagles.
Well, top of the morning there, Brian. Great to see you.
That's right.
It's a chilly day.
You're doing your four-day countdown, five-day countdown?
Well,
because you guys really do shut down during Christmas, New Year's, right?
The schools do. The central office doesn't.
So we'll keep humming along?
We'll keep humming along. We have a number of people that take our holiday vacation, which is a good time because the workload does decrease a little bit, but it doesn't disappear. For example, people would like to have payroll at the end of the month, so my payroll department's got to be working.
You can't automate that? Because you don't pay hourly, right?
No. I mean, some positions
almost
are.
Everybody's just...
Well, most people are paid contract, but of course we do the payroll processing for all the local districts, not only just ourselves, but so that information.
Well, let me say it differently. Hourly, not as in variable number of hours, but paid on an hourly scale.
Right, right. We do.
So
we do both.
Plug that in.
Well, you've got to insert it because people, take sick leave during the month, may work some extra hours during.
Yeah,
the month
there's a couple of those
and
yeah.
that sort of thing. So, no, we produce several thousand. Payrolls,
deposits,
and I personally sign every one of them. What can I?
Yeah,
No, I think those kinds of things are important. Plus, actually, no, believe it or not, as people are winding down 1 year, we are ramping up, and starting in January, we start planning with budgets for next school year and some personnel decisions, and so it never quite let up.
Now, I went through, and the semester break was. Third week in January, something like that. Is that still the case?
It's approximately that time. Yeah.
Okay, you don't wrap it up at the end of
Christmas
break?
It doesn't wrap up at the holiday. No, no. We carry it into January.
Why not kick the schedule so that it would?
You'd have to start so much earlier in August, and people would prefer not to do that.
Oh. At least that must be the bargaining units must not prefer to do that.
Well,
is that what they're getting out at mid-May, if you got college kids? Why not get out?
But you'd also have to start the first week of August. I think that's the issue.
You know what that says. Too many days off in between.
Yeah. Not if you were in the field. You wouldn't feel that way.
No, if I was in the field, I'd be cold right now. Our quote this morning is actually a Russian proverb. Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are.
You're right. That does fit in very
Thank
well.
Thank you very much. Every once in a while. Hey, congratulations on your fence, by the way.
Yes. Okay. Well, we worked in partnership with the City of Eureka and decided to figure out the best way to enhance the safety and security as well as the protection of that natural area behind the main office. We decided to fence it in.
Now, are there going to be gates where those spaces are?
Yes.
So it will be a sanctuary.
Yes. It will be. Unfortunately, by the time they got the fence up, the rain came and they weren't able to install the fences, but that will be finished up.
Well, timing has always been your long suit.
Yeah, right. Well, we're getting close. That's what we say. It's good in horseshoes, right?
And, so
we're getting close.
And I knew you'd appreciate the comment.
Indeed.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles. Gary, as you look at this time of the year, it is kind of a demarcation point, probably for most of us, more so than what the semester break is. So with that, how do you sense the games being played right now? Is the state doing what you were anticipating? Are the locals doing what you're anticipating, the new testing approach? Is it doing what everybody was kind of hoping, or is it still too early?
It's still too early to tell, but I'll start with the testing then and work forward. This, of course, was the first year, last spring was the first year of the new testing process, which sent a new foundation. It was testing different material in a different way, utilizing a lot of technology and more open-ended dialogue questions rather than the multiple choice so prevalent in past testing for students. This was much different, and hopefully it elicited more clear picture of how students are really grasping some of the Common Core material that's being introduced. With that said, because it was so new, it's difficult to necessarily make any comparisons, but it did give us a foundation for the future, and it gave us the kind of data that I think school district folks need to have to better understand how students are indeed progressing. There are several things on the forefront that are happening, which I think bode well for education. The federal government has just recently passed a reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which was passed, of course, back in the 1960s as a civil rights legislation in response to the federal government's role to help equalize financing for public education across the United States, and therefore to help improve the performance of individual children, primarily from low economic situations, who may not have had the opportunities that others might have, so they come to school with educational deficits.
This is more than the meal plan.
That was stuff. More than the meal plan. This is actually money to equalize instructional opportunities. And the primary focus back then was reading and math. Still continues to be primarily reading and math, although science is garnering a little heightened interest these days. But every so often that Elementary and Secondary Education Act has to be reauthorized and revisited. The last visitation on that was, of course, the old No Child Left Behind, and NCLB was not a complete failure, but certainly was far from perfect. One of the things that the reauthorization under Nickleby did was to ensure that school districts looked at all children and in particularly important subgroups. And subgroups could be cultural, racial, it could be low socioeconomic, it could be foster youth. There really was an effort to ensure that all children were looked at.
That was Laura Bush's?
And that was the that was the Bush legislation.
Okay.
And Kennedy actually joined in that. It was a bipartisan bill. The ridiculous aspects about it is that there was too much emphasis on testing and deciding that whether or not one test given once a year was going to make, you're going to assess your entire school program based on the results. That was a little ridiculous. Plus, it had a goal that by 2014, all children everywhere would be at grade level in every subject. And that's a ludicrous goal. So when you start off with those kinds of lofty goals, but then you create a penalty system if schools are not advancing toward that goal, it made it just completely unworkable.
That's what I was going to ask. With the funding that has happened, has there been progress?
Yeah, indeed, there has been. Actually, the data does show that with the additional emphasis on all children is that the bar has raised. Now, we talk about the achievement gap in education, where children in from some subgroups, perhaps blacks, perhaps Native American groups, or the low socioeconomic, or foster children or children who live in homeless families, those tend to have lower performance than the majority populations. So, but actually, over the years, all the populations have advanced. We still have a gap between the low socioeconomic children from poverty and children who are not from poverty, for example, but everyone has raised their performance.
The tide is lifted.
The tide is lifted. And what we want to continue to do is continue to build that. And while we may never close the achievement gap, what we certainly want to do is take the lower performing students and raise them up across the bar to make them college and career ready by the time they graduate from high school.
Do they cross-reference single parent families or
families? No, they just deal with poverty.
One of the parents in jail. I'm wondering if they're getting into the population stuff. It's easy to say race, but I don't think it has anything to do with the color of the skin. So if you eliminate the color of the skin and get into some of the behaviorals or some of the cultural things that the kids are dealing with, and then cross-reference see what happens.
I think that's a very sophisticated way of manipulating data, but you have to have the data put in. And no, they don't track it down quite that way, Brian. But data is becoming more and more important for schools to look at in terms of measuring progress.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles. Talk Shop presented by Redek and by CDH Painting. Gary, as you look at what's coming up this time of the year, obviously the kids are getting excited. The little guys are really getting excited. What does it do to a teacher? Is it respite? Or do you sense each of the schools get caught up in the holiday each year also?
No, I think this is an opportunity for everyone to celebrate, as well as to give thanks for what it is they have. And it's fitting to have these kinds of celebrations, I believe, at the end of the year, because it gives the opportunity to look back and go, wow, you know, this has hopefully been a good year, and look in so many ways and be with family and friends. And I think that's everyone is reminded of that during the Christmas and Hanukkah holiday seasons. But the other thing that we do, of course, is we're beginning to think about what happens in the future. I mentioned earlier about the testing, and I said I would pick up after that. We begin to think about, come January, budgets for the following year. We think about budgets, we think about programs, we think about plans.
Now, is that based on the governor's mid-year?
Well, the governor rolls out his proposed budget by the 8th or 10th of January. So, yes, the conversation starts then. So we begin to plan early. And there is good news on that horizon, in the sense that the state of California's budget woes, while not gone, are certainly far different than they were in the past. And the Ledge Analyst's office has indicated that they are expecting as much as $3 billion in additional tax revenues, what the governor and legislature actually adopted as part of the current budget.
One time?
So the governor has a practice of being very careful with budgeting and utilizing that money for one-time investments. And so I'm expecting him to do the same thing this next January. And I think it's quite possible he might invest in more professional development, because that is something that the field needs. I could see him invest in greater technology. That continues to be a push. So I'm hopeful of those kinds of things coming forward this next year. But as we also look, you know, there's still half of the year left. As you and I were talking earlier, we've got a second semester that starts the end of January. And one of the things my office does this time of year is go out and do an additional recruiting for our early literacy partners, those working with kindergarten to second grade children with both reading and with math, or what we call numeracy. And
call what?
Numeracy. That's focusing on the numbers, because we're not doing with, you know, a lot of algebra.
No wonder you have a tough time with literacy. You keep making words up. Jeez.
So here's the deal. Back in 2008, 2009, and 2010, we developed a pilot program called the Kindergarten Literacy Partners. And we had, during that pilot run, we had 24 tutors at 11 different schools, and we served 75 students. And that was only in reading. And then along came the Decade of Difference activity, which, by the way, we're now in year six, and so the time moves on. But as of last year, we had 127 tutors. We had 452 students being served in both reading and early math,
as I say,
literacy. And well, I didn't want to confuse.
Don't want to lose me again. Huh?
Well, you know, when we talk about math, people say, oh, my goodness, I'm not sure I want to be able to tutor math. But we are talking kindergarten through second grade.
Yeah, so I would think that's pretty basic.
It is stuff, basic, but yeah. It is helping kids understand numbers and the manipulation of numbers and what number concepts mean.
So these tutors, do they work under the auspice of the teacher?
Well, yes, they do. However, here's how we work it out. We go out and recruit the tutors, which we have a number of community volunteers as well as undergraduate students at Humboldt State University that come in. We provide training. In fact, the training is actually tomorrow morning for reading and tomorrow afternoon for the mathematic portion. We ask people to give 2 hours, to contribute 2 hours a week during school hours. And these tutors work one-on-one with children with up to three students twice a week. As I said, we provide training, we arrange for the placement, we provide sample lessons for the tutors to utilize, and now tutors are, we have to have them screened for tuberculosis, like with any volunteer, and there's a background check. We pay for all that on their behalf, because what we are appreciative of is just the time that they come and be willing to donate. And we're looking for another 40 to 50 tutors that we can train and have available for the second semester so we can keep this effort up. So
that's what the demand is, about 325?
Yeah. Well, wow. We're looking for about 150 or 60 total tutors is what we'd like to have in the pool. And we'd like to serve upwards of some 500 students by the end of the year. Yes, absolutely, or more. Now, our goal over time is to not have so many children who are behind. But that's going to take a long time for some of the children's needs to be addressed in those early years. Because not enough of the young people have opportunity for preschool and those kinds of things. But
so
is
that parents not taking the time to read with the kids?
Not taking the time or not understanding the importance of
resulting
of
in
those
the same
issues. Yes, yeah. Resulting in the same issues. So we've got a very extensive parent education program that we've engaged in now for a number of years to try to help with that. And over time, Brian, I think we're going to make a huge difference. And what we can say is that teachers do report that the children who get the one-on-one attention during the year raise their achievement raises enormously by comparison, and many of them are reported to actually catch up with their other peers. So it's important work.
Is it like reading Dr. Seuss and the flashcards? I mean, is it
but there's techniques.
Basic levels?
There's techniques about how to do it to encourage the young reader to not be shy and reticent about their own reading. So those are the strategies that we teach the tutors to do. It's not going in and just reading too, it's reading along with and then encouraging the students to participate. And I ask people to call my office at 445-7000 and say that you want to register as a tutor. And if they do it today, that'd be great. As I said, our training is tomorrow. And our placement would then occur for second semester, just in a few weeks.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles. Gary, you mentioned the Rising Stars program. You're halfway into the initial term of that thing.
You mean a decade of difference?
Yeah. What did I say, Rising
you
Stars?
You said Rising Stars, but that's okay. We were going to talk about
that.
That one doesn't end. No,
is the decade
not.
Of difference continuing to have the impacts that it had early on? Because I remember it was really put in the spotlight. This was a great, wonderful. Is it also continuing to bring home the bacon, so to speak?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are seeing more children leave high school pursuing post-secondary education. We're following some data at Humboldt State and noticing that there's quite an uptick in local students go to Humboldt State, which I think is a real positive. We've got a lot more young people graduating from high school and successfully applying for and receiving financial aid, which is one of the elements which is helping to encourage young people to go on.
It's all part of it.
It's all part of it, and an increasingly more important part of it as costs rise. So remember that the decade of difference was an economic development workforce preparation focused project where we wanted to make sure that students were coming out of school better ready for the world of work, as well as more interested in pursuing post-secondary education, since so many careers now require some degree of post-secondary education. And yes, we are having an effect. But what we're also seeing, I think, which is a real plus, through our push for entrepreneurship programs at the middle school and high school levels, I think we are getting young people more engaged in their community. I know we're having far more businesses and business owners and those involved working with young people, and I think those mentorships are going to carry a long way in terms of being influential. We, of course, have supported our youth entrepreneurship for business development, and we've seen a lot of new businesses develop because of it. All good stuff.
Neat, neat, neat. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Merry Christmas, man.
And Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. And I hope you have a fantastic end to this 2015 year.
See you tomorrow.
Yes, indeed.